We're back. You're quicker than I am, huh? All right. Okay. All right. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Culker meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol. Today it is December 3rd, Wednesday. It's approximately 5 minutes after 2. We're meeting for the administrative portion of our regular scheduled commission meeting. It's the regular day, but we're in the afternoon because this morning we had the governor's budget address. We have several items on administrative consent. I would move passage of those unless there's any questions on anything. Okay.
Second.
All right.
We have a motion and a second. Is there a further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Daryl. Okay. I'm trying to get caught up myself here. The next discussion. Lana, we have it staying on our schedule until it's off our schedule. Anything new from the city of... Uh-oh. I always want to say Enderlin. Is that right?
Yes.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, Enderlin. Ellendale.
I have nothing new, and I was going to ask if maybe it could just come off and go on as necessary.
Okay, that's fine with me if that's fine with the portfolio holders.
Yeah,
you should ask Julie first.
No, I that makes more sense.
Okay. Okay, actually, the if you don't mind, I was going to add one thing for on rail, and Julie and Randy didn't even get a chance to see this. I got a letter from Denver Tolliver. He just sent it to me as the chair. I just got it today, and I can give copies out too. But basically, the letter is Denver is giving us a format of the request letter that we could send in to the STB if we want to get more information about rail shipments. I think it's something that followed through. Commissioner Crispin, you were looking at, and Commissioner Fedorchak, you were as well. So Denver forwarded this over to me, and he copied and Tyler Damerson from Senator Heitkamp's office, Mike Bachmeyer of the FRA, and I just sent the note back to Denver that said I'd bring it up with the two of you. I anticipated that we'd probably do something, but I just let you look through it, and if we wanted to request this information, I personally don't have any problem for it, and I think that it doesn't necessarily have to be Alaska law. I don't think this has to be a commission vote to do it. It's just a letter requesting information that the portfolio holder could have it, but that's the point where I guess I digress into the discussion in the letter.
So he's proposing we send this letter?
No, he's following up that I guess we had asked for some information, we being the
commission. But he has a draft letter here. Did you see that?
Right, but with my signature at the bottom of it. He's saying in his letter that he feels by us asking for this, it has more weight is what he's really recommending.
Right, which is great, but we were saying here this time-sensitive request is supported by FRA and Senator Heitkamp, and I guess I haven't heard that. I want to make sure that we followed up and made sure that's true before we say that in a letter coming from us.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because I hadn't been in the loop on this, so I figured if one of you might want to...
He probably does, is supportive, but I just want to make sure that that's the case before we say that.
Well, we can just leave that sentence out, and then we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm hearing that, I guess what I'm trying to figure
the concept, the concept is, do we want to request this information and have it forwarded to Denver Tolliver for analysis on it?
That's all I was wondering. And then and if that's the case, we could turn it over to Daryl as our rail guru. And then if that's Julie's portfolio, then let you kind of take the lead. I wanted to make sure I brought it to you and got back to Denver that we were working it.
And then do we have a contract with Upper Great Plains for analyzing this information, and or what happens to the information after we request it and goes to him? Because that's obviously what we would be interested in, having it, you know, consolidated into a report that gives us the information we're looking for. I'm not familiar with these forms, so I'm not sure what's all included in this waybill sample.
I guess that's some of the stuff that I
didn't have. Does he lay that out here in his letter?
Might I make a suggestion? I think this might take a little bit of analysis, and I'll have the portfolio holder looks it over. And a lot of this is just based on my a lot of trust in Denver Tolliver. But I'm guessing this is something that we should be doing.
Right.
And I think what he's, as I glance over this quickly, I think what he's asking us to use
our
position to request this information, get it to him, he'll analyze it, and I expect that it would be very public once he's analyzed it, that the, you know, I don't know what would be secret about it.
Mm-hmm. That's the bottom of page.
We can use it, the legislature and everything, and whether it's signed by the portfolio holder or all of us, but I think we should just make this is quite a bit to read through and make a quick decision.
Well, and I wanted to get it to you guys as quick as possible because he just sent it to me. I thought, I think you're spot on, Randy. Let Julie, you can tweak it as you want, but I just, I think the consensus is we all agree that it's good to get the information, let you tweak what it is we want, and so.
Okay.
And I'll just draw your attention to the bottom of page one. He talks about what is and isn't confidential and what he could do or not do, which is fine. We just comply with the rules. But it's at the bottom of the first page.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right. But in general, I think it would be fantastic to
have sounds like it.
Their staff and the technology they have in front of them do this analysis for us.
Yep. Okay.
Just do we have a contract with them for this type of work? Or
That's their charter. To help us do
okay,
things.
Okay, so they're funded by the legislature to do this.
Yeah, absolutely, because I know a guy who used to work at UGPTI. Denver was my boss when I was there. Mm-hmm. So, no, they've got a whole division. This is their whole life. So that's why he puts in there that basically the request coming from us would have more weight. He can get right to work with his people, and it's what he does. So, okay, all right. So, Daryl, you and Julie, or whatever.
Yeah, we'll finish it up and get it done quick here.
All right, I kind of jumped around a little bit here, and that's the rail letter. Okay, the next one I'll jump back to is request to change formal hearing date from December 5th, Northern Excavating. So the way I understand this is we got a request on late Monday that Mr. Lindbergh doesn't want to do the hearing, can't do the hearing on Friday. So give us your legal update, Alana. I know you and I have talked a lot about this, but I'll let my colleagues.
I did talk with the man, and then I sent him an email explaining what he could do to request it and copied everyone else. And we did get a request in, and we did get a response from advocacy staff that there's, you know, that it's basically that it's a late request and that there's not a sufficient showing of good cause. Advocacy staff cited an OAH rule. We have our own rule, but it says the same, pretty much the same thing about needing good cause. And so it is a discretionary decision for the commission. Our rule also says you're supposed to ask as early as possible for a continuance if you need a continuance. It's my understanding that the excavator suggested having it in the morning. I did check that with advocacy council, and they can't do the morning. And so what he told me today at lunchtime was it's simply a matter of him having two meetings that he has to be at 250 miles apart. And his initial request, I think, offered holding it within the next 2 weeks. I have not gathered any dates from advocacy staff or from him about when that could happen in the next couple weeks.
Well, I know that just speaking for myself that the next 2 weeks we've got several hearings and we've had to like jam stuff in there, so I don't know that we have time. But isn't this the one where we had to serve him?
This is the one where he didn't accept the certified mail and we had the sheriff.
And so he was served on October 14th that he had to come to this hearing. The way I understand,
right? I believe yes.
Okay,
yes.
So
I can say for sure he was served on the 14th by the Sutsum County Sheriff.
Okay. Well, I guess my thought, I'm curious to see what my colleagues think, is that if my first gut instinct is this is a request because the guy hasn't done his homework and he hasn't taken it serious, and now the week has come, so why in the heck would you move it? The other thought is, well, if one of you wanted to move it to a different date, this would get kicked out into January because there's really no way to do it. But I'm really fine with having the hearing. But if one of you had strong feelings the other way, I'm not going to put one of my colleagues in a position.
Could we do the hearing? Could he participate electronically?
Well, that topic didn't come up, but that's what I was thinking of when he offered the morning, because it's still 250 miles apart. Somebody must still be electronic. But I could certainly ask him, but I guess I could ask him and even get back to you before you wrap up your discussion of other things if you wanted me to. I didn't specifically ask that. I was sort of thinking that's what he must be talking about for the morning, because I still couldn't figure out how he'd be here and there on the same day. But maybe it's a late meeting in Grand Forks.
I don't know. I guess I like to give deference to people if when they're that live outside of the capital city, if their schedules don't match. And when we, what was the term you used about the good reason?
Good cause.
Just
to show good cause.
When you talked to him and then he sent this email in, do you think you explained that he needed a better than just what he's doing, that he needed, like, to explain time and everything? I'm guessing that he thinks that having a conflicting, important business meeting probably is good cause, and probably didn't think that he needed to elaborate further.
Well, I can't give him any legal advice, and I can't really tell him anything, but I did tell him to put all of his reasons into his request. And then I did talk with him again today and said if he had anything further, basically, to go ahead and submit it. I kind of wanted to know why he didn't ask earlier, but I really couldn't.
That's the point. October
14th,
he knew.
Yes, he knew. The only other tiny thing here is, because I was wondering over the last few weeks if he was going to show up at all, because we talked about what you do in a default proceeding and that sort of thing. So to me, it was like, oh, well, I guess he's going to show up. So that was one tidbit of information that contributed. I mean, the man is sort of admitting he's going to show up as opposed to default.
Two points.
Okay.
One is, the 8th to the 18th? I don't see that happening, if we postpone it. It's not just us. We could probably find time, but, we've got outside counsel on this one, too.
And witnesses coming from the companies, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it would be pretty hard, I think, for him to expect that we could get it put together that quickly to meet his schedule, too. It's probably going to be into next year if we postpone it here. But secondly, if we go ahead with this and he's not here, it's just going to get appealed to court then, because he wasn't able to present his information, right?
Well, exactly. He would default even if he wasn't planning to default. I mean, even if he wasn't intentionally thinking, I'm just going to not show up, he would be not here. And
he's
it would
put
be
this letter before us,
right,
indicating that he would like to show up.
Right.
And so if we have it on a day when he can't, we know where it's headed.
Because I thought of that, too. Let me throw this out as another option. I know he's coming back again. This is not the only set of violations this company has. Have we set a date for that next set of violations?
I don't think so.
I guess what I'm wondering is is there a path forward where we could say, okay, fine, we're not going to have this hearing. We're going to do this hearing and the next set of your violations on the same date, and pick that date, which will probably be in January. And then if he does this again, well, then we just proceed with the hearing, because we're going to have to serve him again. And I'd recommend we do serve him again with notification, whether we have to or not. And
I think that's...
we do whatever motions required to take this set of violations, merge it with the next set of violations, have one master hearing, schedule a whole day as a path forward. That's a thought.
That's certainly doable. The notice.
Well, I don't know if my colleagues do, because I'm fine with having the hearing too. But if you're concerned about his appeal, which I think if he appealed it, the judge would say, well, you were served. But there's a process there that we don't maybe need to go down.
For clarification, because I'm aware of the other issues besides these violations. Alleged violations, but I've never known why they're separated. So when you say merge them together, are you talking about like two sets of two hearings on the same day, or are you talking about actually merging them to where it's all one? Because that was different, these all were one company reporting it. So I'm not sure which way you meant.
Oh, I guess I was open to either. I hadn't thought about that. Just having both. The reason they're separated is because we received this first block. Staff got working on this first block, and then we received another block. So staff got working right. on that block. And so that's why there's two separate badges. Whether we'd have the first block in the morning and the second block in the afternoon, I guess I'm indifferent that way.
Well, and just we don't know yet day. If the second block, the staff made a conclusion, and we talked about this because I had the same question in this first batch, to combine them all into the same complaint. They had their reasoning, okay, whether it was similar facts or the other company or whatever. And so the staff would be making some kind of determination first in that second block about that question also, and then the commission could consolidate things if they have similar issues of law and fact.
Haven't we done that second block already? Didn't we deem that prima facie case last meeting and
okay, and served it. Served. All right. I apologize.
We've done that. That's why I remember.
Okay. So the commission can look at that and see if they should be heard together or back to back. It doesn't really matter.
I kind of like the back to back wave, and I don't have a good reason for why. Have we appointed outside counsel on that?
Yes.
Is it the same?
Yes.
So then the day should be able to work. I was going to say it might be hard to get the right. two counsels, but
we could work on a date for both, and then we would.
Yeah, we could do one 9 o'clock till noon, the other at 1 o'clock. That's fine. But we're talking a lot here without your input, Julie. You tracking
I'm fine
us?
With it. I would have liked to pursue getting him on Friday via Interactive Video Network or something of that nature, because I think you've already got people who have taken time out of their schedules and committed to this hearing, and they're also out of town. So I think we should make some effort to try to preserve it in another way. But if that can't be, I don't see the point in moving forward without him at all. And so I think consolidating into one group would be the best alternative.
I might have an answer to the video part of your question, like shortly, if I go and call him. It's possible.
Well, can we do that as soon as we're done here? Talk to him. If yes. he comes back and says, I can do it via Ivan. Then we have a hearing. If he comes back and says no, then we proceed with. Then I've got a motion put together that says we do what we can do.
So, good plan.
Okay. All right. Anything else on that one?
No.
Another easy one. Okay. All right, Alana. The clock is ticking. Right.
Okay.
Let's see here. Attorney hire. I added this other one on there too. Daryl came back, and staff has their recommendations for attorneys. Basically, they have gone through, narrowed it down to the top two of the top two. The point said that the one gentleman was in top. And the question is that do we want to talk to him as commissioners, or are we fine with taking the recommendation of the committee? And I saw the breakouts of the numbers. There was one that clearly rose to the top. I'm okay with staff making that recommendation. But I'm also okay if we want to hold up, we'll give you a chance.
Well, I haven't looked at any of them or read any of comments or anything, so I want to get okay. more familiar with who this person is and stuff before we make the award or whatever, you know, offer. And so I guess if you can get me the materials and the staff comments and the breakdown on scoring, that would be the first step for me. And then I'd know better if I want to meet them or go forward with the staff recommendation. I'd like to go forward with the staff recommendation if possible so we can get it rolling quickly.
Okay. Randy?
I agree with that completely. I'd like to see the information too first.
Okay, so Daryl, get that stuff out quick. Daryl and I met on that stuff last night. That's just why I just added it, same kind of thing. So the thought process would be that if my colleagues agree, then we move forward with an offer. If they don't, then let's get a work session scheduled right away. And then, or if whatever comes out of it, so we can make something by the next meeting. Kalani, you'd probably like some help by session, wouldn't you? Okay, the next one, pre-filed bills. All righty. So basically, we went through all these work sessions, and I didn't really have any concerns about it. But over the last couple days, just kind of shopping around some of our bills, there's, I think, a desire by a lot of folks to have some kind of collar on us acting on things. And the concern wasn't so much about rate cases. It was, this includes a lot more. It includes tariff filings and other things. So I guess I'm fine with leaving it the way it is, or I would be open to if we want to tweak it, but I really think that the feedback that I got is that if we don't put some kind of collar, we'll introduce these bills and we'll have a lot of people standing up saying they disagree with it, and I don't think that was the intent here to start arguments. It was just to clean things up a little bit, and maybe we should just leave it the way it is.
Well, I'm going to kind of rely on the portfolio holder on this one to tell you the truth, but I will say that I did also hear some feedback on it. A concern that this was definitely going too far. And my question was, well, you mean would going to 9 months or something like that work better, or you're opposed to any change? And the thought kind of was that if we are to extend it longer, at least some companies have some concern about any adjustments that would not allow for an interim rate or that sort of thing, that this might be more encompassing than what we're talking about when we're talking about the big rate cases. And so at best, I think if we feel this is an important bill but maybe need some tweaking, I'm okay with that, but sure wanted to be on record that, you know, I'm open to some tweaking of it, because I don't think it ever was our intention that we're really trying to make a dramatic change here. No, just get more in step with what our actual practice is. So I guess I leave it to the portfolio holder. If we need the bill, we kind of have to submit it as it is. Mm-hmm. Now it's too late to change much with the knowledge that mm-hmm. we would, you know, certainly be amenable to maybe some tweaks to it. But if we don't really need it, maybe we wait and see what we can get submitted by a legislator or something.
Well, unfortunately, I heard about the concerns 10 minutes before this meeting today. And so I haven't had a chance to talk to staff about what we're trying. I thought it was more of a housekeeping type of thing. I thought I remembered Mike even using that term sort of in our discussions about this. So I didn't dig into it real deeply. Just getting rid of it seemed to update our laws so that they were more in keeping with what's actually happening. And that's as far as I know. So I need to figure out what it is we're trying to accomplish. And if in reality the existing law is working fine and we're going about our business and making the exceptions as they come, and industry is working with us on those, and they are uncomfortable with taking this off, then I don't see the value of doing it. Yeah. So, but I don't know that right now, yeah. And I won't until I talk to Mike. And so I guess, you know, we have the option of submitting it and amending it, you know, right away to make it more amenable to them and accomplish what we're trying to accomplish, or pulling it, and if we feel it's really important, submit it, you know, separately with a sponsor.
Yep. Yeah, I share your frustration with, we had several work sessions over months and we never heard from anybody, and I heard about it this morning early, and it's basically the groups that have a say and concerns about the other things outside of rate cases. So that's why I asked to take it off, and I think if it's needed, we could probably find a sponsor for it.
I will say this, and I love doing this, you know, but based on my ears down there, you know, if we submitted it and then in the course of the next few weeks realize that it's not really essential and there's not a good tweak for it, it certainly would not be the first time that some agency or some individual comes in and says, you know, we put this in, it's turned out to be a bad idea, and we just request a do not pass, and let's just kill this thing and forget about it. And then they do that, and it goes down 47 to nothing and 94 to nothing, and it's the end of it. It's not really...
You can't withdraw them, huh?
You usually avoid that. Mm-hmm. It occasionally happens, but they usually don't like to do it.
The problem, I think, is that there's no tweaking of it. It's 6 months, 9 months, it doesn't matter. It's either there's a time frame or there's not a time frame. And I think it used to be 9 months, and they dialed it back to 6 months. I think it's better to let that sleeping dog lie at 6 months.
What is your thought?
Well, I was surprised we hadn't heard more earlier about it, because staff was sharing it in meetings, too, with different people from industry. It does apply to every tariff, and there is constitutional law that utilities have a right to the tariff change mm-hmm. on a 30-day notice unless you suspend. So it does put in sort of an unlimited time, unlimited discretion on that suspension. And that, you know, if they want to go back and find some constitutional basis, that's the kind of thing they would be bringing up. In rate cases, they do get interim rates. and it really doesn't matter, and they often take longer than 6 months, and that's true. I mean, everything Mike said there is true. But this applies to other little tariffs also, and that may be, you know, when people finally read it more closely and company people got to it.
That's what I heard was it applies to everything, and there's no limit on the time or anything.
There's been no problem. I mean, you can't point to a problem where a company was fighting us on not, you know, like we were telling them we can't get your case done in 6 months, and they were, like, really mad.
Right.
I mean, we've always worked it out. They've got their interim, you know, so you can't really point to we didn't handle it well. The commission was mishandling something the way it is today. So.
Well, I was told that if it goes forward as is, they'll have to fight it, and I don't think we would win that battle. I mean, I don't see the legislature going around with eliminating this time.
Based on having lived through all of the reductions for 20 years, I don't think we'd win it either.
So we have to be pretty it has to be very important to us what we're doing. And what I don't know that. I don't know that yet. And I, based on what you just said, I guess if I were to decide right now, I'd say let's pull it. And if it comes back as something that we really need after talking in more detail with Mike, then we can reintroduce it.
Sold.
Well, and we could, if it really is, we might have a joint effort with industry behind us and on some agreeable date or something if it comes back.
Because we already, it's already been pulled. We voted on it, so we'd have to add it back in if we want to do it.
Do we need to take a break and reconvene after Alana makes her phone call?
We probably do.
I thought you already made your phone call.
No, I was here because this was coming up.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that allows some time to...
Yeah, because I think Mike here today?
Yes.
He is, and I mentioned this to him at the copier.
Okay, well, let's just... I don't think we have anything else to discuss. We talked about the attorneys. We're on the pre-file bills. We hit the rails. So we have nothing to schedule, to my knowledge.
I have one thing to schedule. We need to schedule director's meeting. I forgot to do that for December.
Is it okay, then? Let's go take a 10-minute break or 50... Let's come reconvene at 2:45. Is that okay?
Sure, and then we'll do the scheduling in the last and finalize these other two things.
Okay, thank you. Let's do that. So, Esther, you can stop the tape.